Hello, faithfuls. Or are you traitors? Are you faithful traitors? Unfaithful faithfuls? Is that an oxymoron? Does that mean you're a traitor? Let's find out. This is the final review of the Traitors US Season 2. If you have been following along, you may have noticed that I focused my last review on the interview Dan Gysling had with Kevin Kreider. I really loved it because it touched on many things that are aligned with my values and advocacy. They talked about Asian representation in mainstream media and the landscape of the media industry. Specifically, the barrier of entry into Hollywood versus self-produced media that we see on YouTube, like yours truly. So check that out if you haven't already. Just a reminder, everyone needs to be cool. Don't be all like uncool. This is for entertainment purposes only. We do not condone toxic behavior of any kind. It has come to my attention that our Bravo fandom have been acting like damn fools. And y'all better cut it out right now. For this final review, we are going to go through the last three episodes, starting with episode 10, The Weight of Deceit. The episode description is doubt about one traitor spreads among their supporters. So, episode 10, we see Peter is banished. Sucker. I'm sorry, but the guy needed to go. I know he was a faithful, but it was just too much. John was murdered. He knew that he was going to get murdered. They had a bridge mission where CT and Trishelle were the only ones to bank any money. However, MJ got a shield. In the end, Phaedra was banished. And I'm not going to go through every single detail, but I do want to talk about the three separate times that I cried. The first time I cried when MJ got her shield. And I know some people are like, whatever, it's not a big deal. The way that they produced it in the show for us viewers, I appreciated it. They showed the struggle over and over again. She fell into the water so many times, but she kept on trying till the very last second where she just made it. And I need to know if that was edited or embellished or exaggerated. I don't think they do that on this show, but there are way too many times that we've seen them come so close. So I don't know. I'm just gonna, in my head, believe that that was all real. And it just made me cry out of like pride, I think, for MJ. Like, obviously, MJ is our girl. She's a Bravo girl. Love Shaw's Sunset. I need them back. I would like MJ, Tommy, Vita, and Shams to have their own show, and I would watch it. I love them. But also, like, obviously, MJ is not the stereotypical challenge-winning person. So for her to actually get it that on that last attempt, it was amazing. And not only was it amazing to watch, but then you see her just yell, like, I am so proud of myself. And maybe that's the part that makes me cry is like when people experience that sense of accomplishment and feel proud about themselves. Like that brings me to tears. I am so sensitive, guys. Okay. The second time I cried. So we see at one point, Sheree and Phaedra have their one-on-one conversation. And Sheree just like straight up asked her, are you a traitor? And you could see how worn down Phaedra was. I think that she truly, I think Sheree, her relationship with Sheree during this game was her ultimate downfall. I think when she burst into tears during that torch ceremony thing, I think that was the moment that Phaedra broke and realized, like, this game is way harder than I thought. I don't know. It made me, like, I wasn't, like, sobbing or anything, but I did tear up a little bit because I just thought seeing their long time relationship just kind of come to this point, it was just so heavy. And I don't know, I kind of felt like if I was in Phaedra's shoes, I would feel awful. And that was kind of what I think she felt. And that's the part that I think is beautiful, I guess. Something's wrong with me, guys. I need to go to therapy. Okay, the third time, stirring the round table, it was like basically the moment CT started talking about how he voted for Phaedra. And it just, I was weak. I felt so sad, but like happy sad, because his smile, the way he looked at Phaedra, you could tell like he just didn't want to vote for her, but that's the game. And he emphasized how proud he was and that she was the best traitor that they'd ever seen. And that was all true. And her face, she just smiled like she was done. She was ready to go home. And I don't blame her. For all of the Bravo people, I keep thinking, like, especially during that Haggis mission, I don't know how they get any Bravo people to play this game. And I'm wondering if we need to start heavily recruiting from our Bravo world to get the right people in there, because at the end of the day, like, these housewives, it's true. Like, the money that they're going to win is like nothing to them. So yeah, I have issues. Okay. As far as ancillary podcasts go, after episode 10, Peter, Pilot Pete, he was interviewed on Death, Taxes, and Bananas with Johnny Bananas. And I'm wondering if you go back to an older review, I'm wondering if Peter had dental work done when he was on Nick Vile's podcast, because on Johnny's podcast, I didn't hear a lisp at all during the interview. And when I heard Peter on Nick Vile's podcast, I couldn't focus on anything else but the lisp. Not because I have, like, I'm not trying to shame a lisp, but it was so distracting for me because I never heard Peter with a lisp before. So maybe it was just like a one-time thing. I didn't get that much out of this podcast episode other than confirming that Peter has a big case of WMS, and I can't stand his whiny little bitch boy behavior. And you know what's disgusting? So sick and gross. Peter decided to share the fact that he lost his virginity on his dog's bed. He is a sick, sick person. No! When I heard that, I literally was screaming, like, are you kidding me right now? Why is this happening? Why is this information that I have in my brain now? Gross. All right, let's move on to the finale episode. Episode 11, One Final Hurdle. The toughest mission yet occurs on land, air, and sea, with the faithful or traitors winning it all. Kate winds up being the final traitor standing and murders Sheree. In this moment, I'm thinking, Kate, why did you do this? You should have murdered Trishelle. Even before I knew the ending, I'm like, why isn't she getting rid of Trishelle? Like, this is when I want to be like, move, get out of the way. I am going to call the shots here. You guys are fucking it up. Just kidding. I love Kate. So our final five is CT, MJ, Sandra, Kate, and Trishelle. For the final mission, they all get into this helicopter. They make it look so sick and badass. Like, when I was watching, I was like, wee! On this mission, there are three detours where they can go get money. After that, they have to abseil, like on a rope, down a cliff where they then take a little dinghy or tender, below deck style, and they go to the pirate ship or whatever. And then they have to open all the sails. And I have to say, CT crushed it, obviously. And for this mission, again, they were in the final seconds having to complete this mission. Alan is just so desperate for them to finish. He's like, 90 seconds. I thought he was going to start pulling on the sails to get him up, too. He was just watching him. You could see the desperation in his face, like, 90 seconds. They wind up winning the mission, so that was good. They got the money. At the round table, they vote out Sandra, and Sandra knows it's coming. And her argument, like, you could see her getting defensive, getting worked up. And as her last ditch effort, she calls out Kate's outfit. She goes, "Look at her. Her outfit even looks like a traitor." That goes back to Sandra being like one of the pettiest traitor players that we've seen, even more so than some of the housewives. I think it's so funny. And Kate is hilarious. Obviously, I love her. She thinks she's the most charming person ever and could even convince the rest of the players that Alan and Fergus are the last traitors. I love when she gets cocky like that. But Sandra is voted out. Sandra. I love when they go on social media. It's like, oh, give me more. Mwah. Sandra goes on Twitter and has a public service announcement for season three of The Traitors.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing that we didn't, that no one ever put their finger on until the end. There were smokers in the house. The four smokers, the entire season, were CT, Trishelle, MJ, and then Kate showed up. That was a smokers alliance. Come to find out, and I say this for anybody going to play on season three. If there's a smoker's clique, take the motherfuckers out. Because I didn't know they were sharing information from the faithfuls of the most faithful, the Peter Pals, and the leftovers. You know, there's so much shit going on in the castle. There's so many rooms in the castle. They divide us up. They never want too many people in one room. They're like, three people here, please. Five people there, please. So sometimes you don't have like a big crew talking, especially not in the kitchen area because the kitchen is very small. So the camera crew can't really get in there when there's a bunch of people talking. So they split us up. But we ignored that smoker's clique. And like I said, when Phaedra went home, Sheree got murdered. I got banished because Phaedra, I swear to God, was protecting me. And Kate was protecting her smokers. CT, MJ, and Trishelle. Get me a Bible. I will put my hand on it.
Get them, Sandra. I love this. I think it's hilarious. Oh my gosh, she's still invested. Anyways, moving on. So we're at the final circle of truth. We got Kate, CT, MJ, Trishelle. And what they have to do is determine if they should banish again or end the game. And remember, if you end the game with a traitor and faithfuls, the traitor wins, I believe. So they decide to banish again. They know there's a traitor left. It doesn't matter if you like someone or not, like there's still a traitor there. So of course they can't end the game, otherwise whoever the traitor is going to win. So they banish again. And they vote for Kate, obviously. Kate's gone. Okay. At this point, we got MJ, CT, Trishelle. And I'm guilty, okay? I'm with some of you who are upset. In my mind, and you can even go back to some old reviews, in my mind, there's no such thing as an unfaithful faithful. I literally said those words in a prior review where I was like, you know, I can see this concept of faithful traitors, like Phaedra, for example. She is all about the traitor team. She's not like a traitor who only looks out for herself and is willing to throw other traitors under the bus, like Dan and Parvati. So there is a difference between those two types of traitors, right? Faithful traitors and then like traitor traitors. And I was trying to like think of the same comparison with faithfuls. Like obviously you have faithful faithfuls, the Peters, Peter pals. But then I couldn't think of a scenario where there's an unfaithful faithful, which essentially means you're a traitor. Let's be honest. And because I didn't realize that before watching this, I was so confused and very upset. I'm like, why did they just get rid of MJ? Like, I thought the goal is to just end with traitors and split the pot. But let's not forget that Trishelle and CT are gamers, okay? And it took me a couple of days to process this. So that's why I'm a little late with this review. But CT and Trishelle are playing the game to win. They want to win the most money. They want to be the solo winner, which I need to ask them more. Like, was that your game plan going in? But whatever. Trishelle and CT were just playing a different game than MJ. And it's sad to see MJ go. But at the end of the day, we can't be mad because, for one, MJ was dead wrong a lot of times. So I don't know. It's hard to say somebody's a winner when they've messed up so many times. But also, MJ didn't really have any moments where she like won them a bunch of money or anything like that, which is something that people have been pointing out on podcasts and things like that. Go back to that bridge mission in episode 10. Trishelle and CT were the only ones who got the gold across the bridge. MJ got across the bridge, but only for a shield. So I'm understanding their side now. And it just kind of sucks because now I'm like, who am I? Am I a faithful faithful? Would I be an unfaithful faithful? Would I be a faithful traitor? Or a selfish traitor? I don't know. No. I do think, though, I feel like you need to make those decisions, what kind of player you're going to be before you even start the game, because it's like too late by the time you decide. Like, look at how Peter spiraled. What a crazy person. But yeah, I think you need to decide if you're going to be like what kind of traitor or faithful you're willing to be. This is why I said this straight to Dan Giesling. I said, if I went in there, if I was playing this game and I knew all these people from Survivor, Big Brother, whatever, had these reputations of being backstabbing, I would be gunning for them first. Get out of here, whether you're a faithful or traitor, because I would like to see a happy ending where, like what MJ imagined, where we, the faithfuls, win and we split the money. And we're all happy. So, the winners, CT and Trishelle. Once they won, CT picks up Trishelle, puts her on the gold, like he was going to pull down his pants and just start going at it. I have this whole fan fiction fantasy around this moment, but I think I'm going to save it for my next Traitors episode, which may or may not include an interview with someone from the cast. I don't want to jinx it, so just stay tuned. Moving on to the reunion, I wasn't paying attention that much, to be honest. I love Andy Cohen, but I really feel like this is not the place for him to to host a reunion. He literally hosts every single reunion on Bravo. Like, isn't he busy? I know he's into this show, so that's great, but I don't know. There's too many biases, I feel like. He has too many alliances, if you will, to Bravo people, I feel like. No, I don't know. What do you guys think? My biggest takeaways from that reunion, I can Sue and Peter. There's rumors that they're dating. It seems like it. Whatever. Like, I think Ekansu is so hot, and I really like who she is after, especially after listening to her interview on Dan Gysling's podcast. But I don't know. It just annoys me that she may be dating Peter, the little wussy pussy, whiny little bitch boy. Ugh. And she must not be good at picking guys because her last boyfriend cheated on her. I don't like it.
Ay, I really hate this light right now.
My other takeaway from the reunion was Andy didn't talk about Marcus and Lars's breakup enough, and I'm mad about it. I'm very angry. I wanted them to show the IG stories. I wanted them to walk through the timeline minute by minute on the day of the Super Bowl. And we didn't get that. So I'm a little pissed. As far as the podcasts go, I listened to Talking Traitors with Tamra Judge and her unofficial co-host Janelle. They interviewed Trishelle. I listened to Trishelle on Johnny Bananas podcast. I also listened to Trishelle on Dan Gysling's podcast. And I forgot that MJ and Tommy have their own podcast, which was hilariously uncomfortable and definitely worth the listen. My biggest takeaways, though, for Talking Traitors, they mentioned that season three is filming in May 2024. So that's coming up soon. Can't wait to find out who's on the cast. On Johnny Bananas, Death, Taxes, and Bananas, something that I thought was interesting, Trishelle, they were talking about Dan, like throwing Phaedra and Parvati under the bus. Johnny was talking about how he thought that was against the rules. Like, it goes against the traitor's oath of protecting your traitors or whatever. And so Trishelle said she went back and looked at the rule book, and it said specifically, it's okay if it's in the spirit of the game. And I think that needs to be fleshed out a little bit more because what, I mean, even Johnny Banana said it. He goes, I could just pass around a note that has a traitor's name on it and be like, oh, it was in the spirit of the game. Like, that is too open-ended for interpretation, and we need to have some clarification on that for next season. Dan Gysling's podcast. I have to say, because this is probably the last episode of Dan's podcast that I'll be reviewing, I do have to say Dan is a very, very great interviewer. He gets the content that not everybody knows to look for, but gives us a lot of insight. So I really appreciate his interviews. What I took from that interview was it made me mad, honestly, and not mad at Deanna or Trishelle. It made me mad at our Bravo community who's sending, well, I don't know for sure. This could be, it could be like, I don't know, maybe Peppermints fans for all I know. But regardless, whoever is doing this, if they're making death threats, telling people that we watch on a TV show to go kill themselves, like, come on, guys. That is so nuts and unnecessary. It's gross. Stop it. Don't make me haggis up in this bitch. Oh my gosh, this light is driving me nuts. Okay. All right. MJ and Tommy, I fucking love them. They had me cracking up. It was a good episode. Go listen to it. My husband better never do me wrong like Tommy did to MJ on this episode. It was rough, but I still give him respect for being brutally honest. I would never want my husband to just placate me and
Be like, yes, you're amazing. Like, be honest, but like, be nice about it, please. He probably could have been a little softer with her, but that's Tommy, I guess. Season two of The Traitors US may be over, but we still may have some more in store for you. As I mentioned, I may or may not have an interview with someone from the cast coming up. Cross your fingers. But also, I am going to see Miss Twitchy Eye Phaedra Parks in New York City on Saturday for a drag brunch. And I am manifesting hard that she reads me for filth when I see her. I am thinking of putting my experience up on Patreon. Check the show notes for a link to subscribe and join. Thank you so much for listening and watching Bravo and Blaze with Jenny Blaze. Please consider rating this podcast, give 5 stars, leave a nice comment, subscribe and follow on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. If you're interested in getting your own haggis hat, feel free to shop at bravoandblaze.com. I love twinning with people. So if you do get one, send me a pic so I can post it with us, Photoshop together like we're twins. I love you all, fam. Stay lit.